You're listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. My name is Lynn, and I am the founder of Stop Feeding the Predators. And I always make it clear to people that I started Stop Feeding the Predators because I was raped when I was a child, and the people in my life didn't know how to protect me from that. They didn't know that such things happen to children. And they certainly didn't know the signs to look for or what to be aware of, behavior changes in me or in other people around me. And when I finally got my life straightened out, I married a man who ended up raping my children. And strangely, I knew what my kids were going through, but this was the first time experiencing it as a mom. And so today, I want to talk to you a little bit about what it's like being the mom of a child who's been sexually assaulted. One of the biggest things for me was, as the child, I had in my mind exactly what should be done and what should happen next to these people who did these awful things to me. As a mom, I knew what my child self would have wanted to have happened to these people, but at the same time, there were a lot bigger things to factor in. Obviously not bigger than my child's safety, but there were a lot of big things that factored into my next decision, my next reaction. One of the biggest things for me as the mom is I didn't know it was happening. And there were certainly signs, and hindsight is 20/20, as everyone knows. Looking back at the things that I did see, it was glaring, it was so obvious, how could I not have known? But when you're living in it, and the subtlety of how things happen, and again, my background is I've grown up being abused. I don't know what a healthy relationship looks like. So when I see abusive things and people aren't complaining, maybe my life wasn't abusive and maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought, and maybe that's just how it is. The other thing is, because I grew up without a father, I didn't know what a healthy father-daughter relationship looked like. So when I watched my husband interact with my daughter, I didn't know what was appropriate behavior. And I'm not talking about them having sex in front of me or him raping her right in front of me or anything like that. Okay? I'm talking about the little subtle nuances of the relationship where he would do things to make her more like an adult. He would let her get away with things that her brother couldn't get away with. Things like that. Things that indicated something wasn't quite right. But I grew up wishing I'd had a dad and thinking that a dad helps you, he teaches you, he encourages you. And I grew up hearing, not in my life, but on TV and in the movies and other families, a daddy's girl. Same as I heard the expression mama's boy, I'd hear the expression, you know, a real daddy's girl, or daddy's wrapped around her little finger and things like that. So it was implied throughout life that fathers somehow bowed down and gave in to their daughters' every whim and would let their daughters do things or get away with things that maybe sons couldn't. So again, I didn't know what I was seeing. Was this normal? Was it not normal? Was it healthy? Was it not healthy? And I'll admit, I spent too much time having guilt, being jealous of the relationship between my husband and my daughter. And please take a moment to consider how sick that is. But they seemed very close. They seemed to have personal private jokes. And again, a lot of fathers and daughters do, a lot of mothers and sons do. I'm not saying that that's indicative of abuse. But I was jealous that I didn't have that kind of relationship with a father when I was growing up. So the things that I saw that bothered me, I didn't know if those were supposed to be things that happen between a healthy father and daughter relationship, and I was just jealous because I never had that, and that's why I had that weird feeling, or if this genuinely was off and something wasn't appropriate. I didn't have a background of knowledge to know the difference. What I've learned since then, obviously, there's a huge difference, and it's rather glaring at times. Gee, I'm an idiot. How could I not have seen that? How could I not have known that? How could I not have understood it? But again, we make the best decision that we can with all of the information that we have at that point in our life. And at that point in my life, the best that I understood of the situation was that I was jealous that I didn't have a relationship like that with a father when I was growing up. A lot of times, moms who have children who are being sexually assaulted, we see the signs, but we simply don't understand what we're seeing. And that can be even if we weren't sexually abused when we were children. The subtlety of these aggressors, these predators, is so slight that it confuses us. And how can somebody who's so nice and so kind and so giving be doing anything that isn't nice and kind? And it can really, if we know that it's happening at all, if we see signs, it can be really confusing. Does that mean this, or is that just this? And we try to justify it, because certainly no one wants to think that they are married to someone who could harm their children. Unfortunately, a lot of people are. And it can be so difficult to witness things that you believe are abuse, that you actually say, you know, I don't like him doing that. I don't think he should be doing that. And not knowing what to do to change it. And again, the subtlety of it, you know, you're being a big baby, you're just jealous because I'm not spending time with you right now. The world doesn't have to revolve around you. I'm spending time with my daughter. What's your problem? Leave me alone. All of that kind of stuff, it can be very difficult for us to know how to change what we're witnessing, even when we do recognize that this probably is abuse. The subtle abuse, the subtle closeness between a father and daughter. And I'm not talking about a healthy relationship, I'm talking about an unhealthy relationship. And we simply aren't sure where to turn. Do I believe my eyes of what I'm seeing? Am I reading too much into it? Does my past of not being abused make this harder for me to see because I don't know what abuse looks like? Or does my past of being abused make me see this in a light as if it is abusive when maybe it's not? And both of those are very harmful ways of thinking, because we end up dismissing our feelings about something that's happening that makes us uncomfortable. So rather than finding a way to deal with it and making it change so that it's something we're all comfortable with, we tend to dismiss ourselves. And I can tell you, after everything surfaced and, you know, the whole neighborhood knew what happened to my family, there were some neighbors who couldn't believe that I didn't know this was happening in my own house. I will take a moment to say I was at home for most of the times my daughter was abused. I was at home. I was in my house. He was in the house. She was in the house. Okay? So you would think that I would notice. And that's why when other parents tell me, oh, we watch the kids close. You know, all the kids play together downstairs, and all us adults, we check on them. We go down from time to time. We sneak down the steps. We listen in. We check. You don't have a clue what's going on in that room unless you're sitting in that room. I'll tell you that firsthand. I'm not going to go into more detail about what happened within my own family out of respect for my family. Plus, we don't share graphic details. But I will tell you, there were so many things that happened that confused the heck out of me that I kind of didn't stand a chance of figuring out what was going on. And because of the things that confused me so much, any attempt that I would make to talk with someone to help me figure out what I was seeing, is it normal, is it not normal, those attempts were not made because I was so confused by what was happening. And I would like to encourage any moms, whether your child's being abused, whether they're not, whether you think they are, whether you know for a fact that they're not, if you want someone to discuss, here's what I'm thinking, here's what I'm feeling, please give us a call here at Stop Feeding the Predators. Our phone number is 614-403-4545. We are not going to tell you what you're seeing because you're the only one seeing it. We're not going to call the police. We're not going to call Children's Services. What we will do is we will listen to you and we will help you figure out what you're seeing and what you're feeling. And then it's up to you of what the next step is. If there is a next step, it may simply be like in my case where I thought because I was abused and this was a healthy relationship, there was something wrong with me. Well, I really needed somebody to talk to help me understand, you know, if somebody crashes their car into a storefront and just because you were in a car wreck doesn't mean that that's a normal thing. You should report a car crashing into a storefront. So again, we are not the police. We are not going to call the police. If you're a mom and you suspect something's going on, please feel free to reach out to us. You can send us a private message on Facebook. You can call us. Again, the number is 614-403-4545. We can help you understand what you are seeing. We're not going to tell you what you're seeing because we're not there. We're not going to suggest someone is doing something evil and vile and horrible to your children because we don't know, you know. We will listen to you. We will help you understand what you're feeling, what you're thinking, help you understand what you're seeing so that you can process all of that information and decide if your child is safe. Is something going on? Are you having jealousy issues? Whatever. We will help you in whatever way we can. I had a lot of guilt from not protecting my child. Some of the neighbors said, how could you be in the house while it's happening and not know it's happening? I didn't feel it was appropriate to go into the graphic details with these neighbors to explain to them how it was, in fact, happening on a regular nightly basis within my own home while I was there, and I didn't know. But it does happen that way. And the guilt from not protecting my child was, and at times still is, immense. I'm the mom. I gave birth to these children, and I owe it to them to protect them from every possible way they could be damaged. It's not enough to just teach your kids how to walk and say please and thank you and wipe their own butt. We also need to teach our children that they are worthy of love and respect, and that they have rights, and that those rights include not being hugged when they don't want to be. Those rights include being allowed to take a shower or a bath alone and not have somebody knock on the door and suddenly have to use the bathroom. As a mom, it was my job to teach my children that they were loved and respected, and that they deserved privacy. They were entitled to rights to their body that no one else was entitled to unless they granted them those rights when they had enough information to make a healthy decision. Clearly, children do not have enough information to make healthy decisions about sharing their naked bodies with adults. That's why every single time an adult and a child are touching each other in a sexual way, it is always rape, and it is always the fault of the adult. I did have a lot of shame from the neighbors thinking that I was a horrible person. And I didn't know how to fix that. I was blessed with a lot of crisis and chaos at the time that I found out, so I didn't have a whole lot of time to spend worrying what the neighbors thought. But every once in a while it would creep in. What do the neighbors think of me? And there were a couple times that some neighbors told me what they thought of me, and it wasn't very pleasant. So if a neighbor finds out that their child's being sexually assaulted, please don't be a jerk and ask them, how did they not know? And oftentimes, as moms, whether we're employed or not, there's a certain amount of financial crisis when we finally do react to what is in fact happening. We have to worry about being believed, and we have to worry about whether or not we're going to be helped or punished. I've heard some stories where the women have spoken up and said, my child's being raped by my husband, and the legal system, in some cases, not all, in some cases, has said, oh, you're lying, you're trying to manipulate, you're trying to get more money out of him, we don't believe you. And then you look like a kook, you look like a gold digger, you look like an idiot, you look like a vicious person, a revengeful person. And that's such a horrible place to be. Financially, it can be a matter of, you know, childcare is worked out between the two of you and your work schedules and whatever. Maybe if you send him away, or if he leaves, or if you leave with the kids, you have to figure out a whole new way to live. You have to figure out and coordinate a whole new way for childcare, for work, for bills to get paid, for all of that stuff. And it's not easy. And I can't offer much in the way of suggestions, because every single case is going to be completely different from every single case before. I learned the hard way. And when I say I learned the hard way, I mean the information that I share with people, the education that I share with people, and the insight that I share with people are all things that I wish someone had taken the time to teach me, to show me, to help me before it happened, and to be with me after I found out it had happened, to give me some kind of guidance, some kind of sense of direction, a feeling that I wasn't walking through it all alone, because if I'd made this many mistakes up to this point in my life, to where my child was being harmed in my own house while I was there and I was oblivious, how many more really big, horrible mistakes might I make with regard to my child's safety through the legal process, through the court systems? Was my divorce going to be granted, but nothing happened in the way of criminally punishing the person who'd been raping my child? And was my child going to be subject to spending every other weekend alone with that person? It's big, it's awful, it's scary, it's no fair. And a lot of people don't know what to do. I'm certainly not claiming that I know what to do in every individual's case, but what I have to offer is what I have seen, what I have heard, the patterns that match up are what I share with people. If you're seeing hoof prints and there's zebra around, but there's no horses around, I'm seeing a pattern of hoof prints. I'm not going to keep thinking horses when there's no horses, but there's a zebra standing right in front of me. You know, you have to look at each individual circumstance, and you will see patterns across the board, but you don't immediately jump to those patterns, because sometimes, in particular cases, those patterns are not accurate. Stop Feeding the Predators does offer support groups. If you're in the Central Ohio area, we do have support group meetings, and you can find out more information about dates and times, locations, and all of that by getting a hold of us either at 614-403-4545, or you can send us a private message through Facebook. You can go to Stop Feeding the Predators on Facebook. You can follow the links through City of Angels Recovery Radio, or you can send us a message through our website, which is help@stopfeedingthepredators.org. I like to assure people the legal system is doing a lot more nowadays to hold the aggressors accountable, to actually see sexual child abuse as the crime that it is, and the legal system is taking steps to be more, I don't want to say more punishing, but to actually punish according to the crimes. Back in 70s, I was told that nothing was going to be done to the man who raped me and admitted raping me because the police, quote, understood our family situation, unquote. I'm 48 years old. I still don't know what that means. Because the family situation was that I was a child, I was being harmed, and no one was protecting me. That was our family situation. And I don't find it appropriate that the police's response was, "We understand." Because that's the equivalent of saying, "We're not doing anything about it," which is exactly what they did. That was back in, I believe we, when I talked to the records girl at the police department here a couple years back, I believe we determined that that was in 78 or 79. Here we are in 2015. I've taken courses with OPATA, which is the Ohio Peace Officer Training Academy, and these are the same courses that teach the detectives and the on-the-street officers. Anyone within police departments takes these courses, and it helps them to understand, how do these jerks get away with this? What are our legal rights to pursue criminal investigation? What do we need a warrant for? You know, how do we process the information from the child? All this kind of stuff. The strides that the legal system and the law enforcement agencies have taken is just incredible. Even back to, okay, the rape that the only time the police were involved was in 78 or 79 with me. With my daughter, it was in 99. So we're talking a 20-year difference. That was a huge difference. It was taken serious as a criminal aspect, and my husband was charged and did go to jail. Here we are, 2015, coming up to 20 years later, And again, the differences of how things are processed and prosecuted today compared to just 15 years ago is incredible. It is just amazing. And I can't thank law enforcement enough for all of their education, for their officers, for their detectives, for forming sexual abuse squads, actual people that specifically spend a lot of time learning more and more and more, understanding the neurobiology of sexual assault, understanding what the brain of someone being sexually assaulted is going through to help them understand why a child might say, "Daddy raped me. No, he didn't. I lied." Because previous law enforcement would say, "Well, your child said it happened, and then your child said it didn't, so we're going to go with it didn't." And now law enforcement is educated, and they understand the child said it happened because it happened. The child said it didn't happen because they don't want to get daddy in trouble. They see that mommy's upset. There's a lot of people making phone calls and a lot of stress, and things are weird and life's not normal and daddy's gone and my siblings are mad at me because they said it's my fault daddy's gone. So I'm just going to fix all this and say it never happened. Law enforcement understands that nowadays. 15 years ago, heck, even 10 years ago. And there are some police departments today that still don't understand that. But they're working on it. When I've taken these different courses through OPATA, I have seen so many different jurisdictions all over Central Ohio, and we've had people come from Pennsylvania, police departments come from Pennsylvania to sit in and learn what we're teaching the Ohio law enforcement agencies. It's just incredible how law enforcement, male and female law enforcement officers, detectives, are stepping up and saying, "I'm not okay with this. Teach me more so I can stop it. Help me to know legally, what do I do next to make sure this kid's safe? How do I help this family? How do I protect them?" And I like to encourage moms and dads, but I like to encourage you that education is available for you the same as it's available for the law enforcement. That's why Stop Feeding the Predators has this radio program on City of Angels Recovery Radio. City of Angels understands that many children who are sexually abused, who are abused in any way, grow up to develop addiction problems, trying to cope with the pain and the turmoil that they're feeling in their own minds from what they've been through. And either someone didn't protect them, didn't know how to protect them, or was physically unable to protect them. This radio program is one way you can learn how to keep your kids safe. We post stuff on Facebook. We have a website. I can even come and give presentations. Stop Feeding the Predators offers presentations for church congregations, school systems. Even I tell people, even if you can get a couple of friends together, get a group of moms together, I'll come and talk to all of you. Get a group of dads together, I'll come and talk to all of you. The important thing is to know, if you're the mom of an abused child, it is not your fault the child is being abused. It is the fault of the person doing the abusing. That being said, you are the mom. It is your responsibility to protect your child. And that means you do what you need to do in a healthy, moral, and legal way so that your child has the best chance for getting through it without ending up with addictive issues to mask their pain from what they've endured. My name is Lynn. I'm here to help you. All of our volunteers at Stop Feeding the Predators are available to help as well. Your local law enforcement is a lot better than they were 20 years ago, and they care more now than they did then. They might have cared more then. I don't know. I don't know who was working then. But my point is, there is hope. Let go of the guilt. Let go of the shame. Reach out. find out if your child's being abused, and if they are, what your next options are. You've been listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio, and healing starts here.